What's up, everybody? Chester ARP Church Devotional Podcast. Thanks for being with us. We get started in just a minute. 1 Kings, chapter 13.
Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
All right. 1 Kings, chapter 13 is where we are this morning. The story of Jeroboam and his kingdom in the northern part of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel that aren't named Benjamin or Judah, under Jeroboam's rule. Yesterday, or the previous time we were together, we read of Jeroboam's golden calves and how he set up idolatry and a religion in the land in order to mimic the religion of Jerusalem, the religion that God had given to his people. And now we pick this story up in verse 1 of chapter 13 of the book of 2 Kings. And we have this story of a man of God, a prophet, coming to speak to Jeroboam. And behold, the man of God came out of Judah by word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings, and the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to this house of David, Josiah by name, and he will sacrifice on you the priest of the high places, who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. And when the king heard it, heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar at Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him! And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar was torn down, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king said to the man of God, entreat now the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half of your house, I will not go with you. And I will not eat of the bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way you came. So he went another way, and he did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. Now this is a kind of a crazy story, if you think about it, in the modern era. But we see a lot of these kinds of stories, especially in these historical books. When you think about Samuel, Kings, and into the books of Chronicles, if you look at those six books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you see a lot of these kinds of stories where God will send a prophet, a man, to go and prophesy, to give God's word to the people or to the king. In this particular case, the man was sent from Judah, from Jerusalem, to Jeroboam, who was worshiping his false gods at an altar at Bethel. And the man of God was to go, and as he went, he was to prophesy against the altar itself, which was used as a place of sacrifice for the gods of the nations, for idols that were not named Yahweh. And so this man was to go prophesy against not only the altar, but presumably against the priest and against the king who had set this high place, this altar, up for worship. That was to be used in the cult of Jeroboam. And so the man of God goes, and he does just that. He condemns the altar. He pronounces judgment against the altar. He says that the altar will be a place on which Josiah, who will be the king, who will be raised up, and a king in southern Israel, the kingdom of Judah and Benjamin, Josiah will eventually sacrifice the bones of the priests themselves, the false priest on this altar. Jeroboam standing there says, heaven forbid, no. And so he wants to seize the man of God. When he stretches out his hands to point at the man of God, says, seize him, to command. His hand shrivels up, dries up. He can't bring it back. They tear up the altar. They pour the ashes out, as the man of God said. That was the sign to confirm the word of God to be true. And as they do that, then Jeroboam pleads with the man of God to pray. And the man of God prays, and God restores the hand of Jeroboam. Now, these stories are kind of wild when you think about them in the context of the modern era. We don't typically experience things like this. And we may look back at the Old Testament and say, this is kind of fanciful, this is mythological, as it were, because we don't have these kinds of experiences. But I think there's several things you've got to remember. Number one, this is the time when the Word of God was coming to the people of God in dramatic ways. We have prophets in the modern era, but the prophets are preachers. And the prophets are those who preach the good news of Jesus Christ as it is recorded in the Scriptures. Now, a modern prophet is not one who gets a new word from God, though there are a lot of people who say they get a new word for a congregation. That's not true. Don't believe those people. A prophet in the New Testament era is one who, through the ministry of God's Spirit, takes the Scriptures, right, that are there for us and proclaims the good news of Jesus in a way that is applicable to us for the living of our daily lives of faith and calling us to faith and repentance in Christ. So as a pastor, one of my roles is prophetic, but it's not, I don't get new words from God. I take what's in the Scriptures, expound upon it through the ministry of the Spirit, trusting that God will give us wisdom for the living of our days. In the Old Testament, that was not the way it was, because Jesus has fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament. We don't have to have prophets come the way they came in the Old Testament. These guys would come at dramatic moments at specific times to deliver a word from God. And as a result of that, this was all for the purpose of preparing them to be pure for the coming of Jesus. And so God is at work in this way. And so sometimes when you read these Old Testament stories, you say, man, that's kind of crazy to think about how it happened that way. Why didn't it happen that way now? Well, it didn't happen that way now, as we said, because Jesus has fulfilled the promises, because we have the Word of God recorded, preserved by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is working in each one of us. That wasn't the case back then. And so God would show up in a very dramatic way to make a point, to make sure that the king heard that God's prophecy, God's word, was against him in this particular case as a result of his disobedience. Now, sometimes they come to bless. They come to bless. But in this particular case, he came to bring condemnation. And God had sent him for that purpose, to communicate directly to Jeroboam regarding Jeroboam's sinfulness and leading the people astray, and God saying, ultimately, vengeance is mine, and I will have justice over this matter. The altar will be destroyed, and the high priest who offers sacrifices on it will be destroyed. And in a sense, he's saying to Jeroboam, this cult religion you've created will fall by my hand of power. And that's the way it is in all world religions that are not the biblical religion, the true religion. All false religions will fall by the power of God in due time when God comes to execute justice on this earth in the return of Christ, if not before. You guys have a great day. God bless you. I'll see you next time.